Good morning. My name is Reverend Andrew Mdarara, minister here. I welcome you to the house of our God, where we gather together to fellowship with one another, but above all other things that we would do in this place, we would also worship the Lord. And it is important. That's the primary reason. That's why we are here. And I need to rehash that to say that's the reason why we are here, to be in the presence of God. We may take our seats. Psalm 103 says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and my innermost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and the crowns, and he crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." These are the benefits of the Lord. "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel." And the psalmist says, "Praise the Lord for all his benefits." For those of us that think they benefit from God, and counting those benefits that God blesses us with. And one of them is life. And the other one is that the knowledge of knowing that God loves us. And that alone is a mighty, mighty reason to know that God loves me as I am, as an individual, to such an extent that he was willing to give his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. That's powerful. That will drive you mental when it comes to praising God, because you know that God has loved me so much, and for that reason you can praise him with all your heart and your innermost being. We stand up as we are able, and our first hymn is, "I am a new creation in Christ Jesus."
Thank you.
God has made us to be a new creation, and in His grace we stand. In other words, we are not deserving. But grace is all about God saying, you don't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. And that makes us to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. And for that, we celebrate and rejoice and sing of His praises and His glory. Let's pray together. Thank you, our God and our King, for whom you have made us to become in you. We who were not a people can now cry out, Abba Father, by your Spirit. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for your love that you have shown to us, that has drawn us to you. We are grateful for your forgiveness. We are grateful for your adoption. You adopted us to become co-heirs in Christ Jesus and to sit in the heavenly places with Him. And for that we are grateful. We thank you for your blessings upon our lives. We thank you for your blessings upon our families. We thank you for your blessings upon this church and our communities. We exalt your wonderful name because you are worthy of our exaltation. You are God in our midst, and we acknowledge your presence and your power and your love in our midst. We pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts, to encourage us, to challenge us, and to build us up in you. Thank you for your mercies, which are new every morning. Thank you for your faithfulness to your covenant with your people. Even in the times that we have not been faithful to your covenant, you have remained faithful to your covenant with us. And for that, we give you thanks. We exalt your wonderful name this morning as we gather together to worship you, to bless your name, to learn from one another and to learn from your feet. May you be glorified in our midst. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. I will leave this time to Karen for family news.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to pass you over to Christine and then to David, and then I'll give you the family news.
Morning. I just want to have a quick word about the church meeting next Sunday after worship. I have emailed those of you who've got computers and etc. all the information, but I realise that not everybody will be able to print it out or even download it, maybe, I don't know. And some of you have not got that IT facility. So there are some copies on the table there at the bottom of the stairs. But I just want to bring your attention to the constitution document. We don't want to spend a long time discussing it on next Sunday, so please could you look at it carefully, and if you have any questions, could you contact David with your questions before next Sunday? Thank you very much.
Very quick one. On Saturday, October the 14th, some members of our choir will be joining with singers from all across the country for a festival of church music at St Albans Cathedral. If you'd like to go, please see me. We're hoping to arrange a coach, or at least a small coach. The plan is we'd leave in the morning, you'd have the afternoon sightseeing, and then the festival in the evening. They're great occasions. Normally you get big choir, big congregation. The theme this year is hope and reconciliation. So if you'd like to come to that, please see me after service. Thank you.
I think they've stolen most of my thunder now anyway. You should have received a list of significant dates from the stewards this morning. If you haven't received it, there will be some in the back of the church. Make sure that you pick one up, please. The plant sale has been rescheduled for next Saturday, the 23rd. We'll be moving the plants from the church garden to the front steps at 8 a.m. and will be open from 9 to 12. If you can spare some time to set up, that would be very helpful. And we need some jam jars again, please, if anybody's got any spare. News of the church family. Annette D has had a successful cataract operation and is looking forward to the next operation on the other eye. Sue D is in good spirits most of the time and has been visited by a number of people from the church. Judy P's mum has had another fall and is back in hospital. Please remember them and the following people in your prayers: Nanette and Dave Stribling, Dean Chain, John and Judy Payne, Trevor Lydell and family, Keith Griffiths, Margaret and Peter Gubb, Sue Taylor and family, Gay Ventner, Jean Bagley, and anyone else that I have inadvertently overlooked. Thank you. Sorry, the next hymn will be Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You, and the offering, sorry, lost a screw this morning, the offering will be held in the middle of it.
Thank you for your blessings upon our lives, and we respond to your love with these gifts. We pray that you bless each and every hand that gives towards your kingdom. May they prosper in the city, may they prosper in the country. May your blessing rest upon their children and children's children. To the glory of your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
reading today is from the book of Genesis, chapter 50, verses 15 to 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he assured them and spoke kindly to them.
Thank you, Paul. We stand up again as we are able, and we sing here the call of the kingdom. Relationships matter. That's what I want to talk about. One of the inheritance that I got from my grandmother is the understanding that my brother and sister and me are joined together for life. And there is no way out of it. And my grandmother always to say, it's okay to fight with your brother and your sister. It's okay to disagree with him or with her. But one thing you must remember is he is your brother or she is your sister. And those relationships are paramount. They are important. Now, the reading for today, the lectionary reading from Genesis chapter 50, tells us of a story of Joseph having been sold by his brothers, and they went back to the father and, you know, lied to the father, and years after, they find themselves in need of this brother. And in the reading for today, you find that they try by all means to manipulate Joseph by saying, you know, these are the words that your father told us to tell you. And, you know, the response would probably, oh, bless my father, or whatever he has said, and then he is intended to respond positively to them. And Joseph accepts his brothers and is willing to forgive them, and he says, I will support you, I will help you, I will support your families. And I think he understood that relationships matter. And these material things that they need or they needed at that time, yes, they're important for their survival. But I think in Joseph's heart, his aim was to restore the relationship with his lying brothers, with his selfish brothers, and wanting to make sure the family is restored to some normality. On the Matthew reading for today's lectionary, which is from Matthew chapter 18, Jesus in the whole chapter is also talking about relationships. He talks in the opening chapter about if anybody wants to be in the kingdom, to be part of the kingdom, you have got to be like a child. It also went on to talk about forgiving your brother or your sister in Christ. If you offend your brother and your sister, or you feel offended, you go to them and you consult them, and with the hope that they will say, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that I'd offended you. And should they remain arrogant, sometimes you go and call another brother or a sister to say, could we try to have a conversation with Andrew as he's not grasping what I am trying to say? And a brother and a sister can come and try to make Andrew understand. And then if Andrew does not understand you, you bring him to the church, and the church tries to sort out, to battle with him, and he still feels that he is always right as he feels that he is right. And then Jesus says, oh, when you have exhausted all the other methods to try and restore the relationship, then you can treat this brother or sister as a tax collector. Because you would have done every effort under the sun. And then the today's reading, Jesus talks about when Peter asks and he says, how long should I forgive somebody when they have sinned against me? And Jesus says, you know, 70 times 7. Very difficult. We always have this saying in our thinking that somebody makes the mistake once and you forgive them, and they come back and they make the same mistake and you sort of hope they would have learned, and the third time Jesus takes it the whole way and he says 70 times 7. Why? I think Jesus is trying to say relationships matter. And as long as we are living together as brothers and sisters from different backgrounds and different understanding and different preferences, we will step on each other's toe. And we have got to learn to forgive one another. And not only to forgive one another, but also to say sorry and to acknowledge when you have gone wrong. But sometimes, because of our pride and our selfishness, we don't want to acknowledge that we might have caused offense. And sometimes we are so entitled to our own opinion as the right opinion that we think whatever we say, nobody should be offended by it. Because I'm right, my attitude is right, my intentions are right. And because so and so or Mary, when I spoke to them like that, they were never offended. So why should John be offended by this? But we've got to remember that relationships matter. And we have to be willing to be genuine to one another. Jesus is encouraging people to be genuine with one another, to say if your brother has offended you, go to him or go to your sister and have a word, and with the hope that they will understand and listen that they have offended you, and they can be genuine about it, to say I am wrong, I got it wrong, I thought I was right. But most of the time we miss the opportunity to heal and to bring healing to our relationships because we don't want to be found to be wrong, because we are always right in our own eyes. But we have got to work towards I'm not talking about this sorry that we do. I know that says, oh, sorry anyway. At least I've said sorry. I have apologized and you must get on with it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being genuine, that you get yourself in the wrong footing and you harm somebody or you offend somebody. And then you are willing to say you are sorry genuinely. But most of the time I find myself just saying sorry, not to get over it, because my daughter is crying Tawonga because I've said something nasty, or I've screamed, or I've clipped her with a seat belt, and she cries, and then I want to go where I'm going, so I'm saying, and she says, oh, you need to say sorry, then I say sorry anyway, sorry, let's go, come on, get in, because I want to go. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about being genuine. Well, I do that sometimes, but I get it wrong a lot of times. Where I stop because I've hurt her, I've offended her, and I say, I'm sorry. I am sorry, I didn't mean to do that, genuinely. And I do that. But sometimes I don't do that, because there are other important things that I want to deal with, and therefore I need to tick this box so that I can go. That's not what I'm talking about. Jesus is talking about us being genuine about the relationships that we have with people. That when we are talking about healing the relationships, when you have offended them, we are genuine about this. I'm not talking about Joseph's brothers' attitude because they are in need, because they know what they have done. They are in need, they are desperate, and they want to manipulate him and say, because your father, before he died, these are the words that he has said. If somebody claims that my father has said it, they might get away with it. But we need to be genuine. We need to be genuine when we are healing relationships. Because when we are not genuine, we miss the mark. And sometimes we think we are entitled to be forgiven. I don't know, probably it's my own problem. We think people have got to forgive us because we have said sorry. And they have to do it at our time because I've said sorry. That's how important I am. That when I say sorry to you, you have got to acknowledge it and forgive me because I deserve it. And I don't allow you the time to heal, to process what has just happened, to acknowledge that you have offended me, and I've got to work through the process of healing or receiving healing through the forgiveness that you have asked. Genuineness has to come from the heart. And we shouldn't explain away other people's pain. In the reading that we have, Joseph is the one that said, whatever you intended to harm me, God intended it for good. It's the one who has been offended, not the one who was offended, saying, oh, it's God's will. You know, sometimes, oh, this is what happens. So when I'm caught, when I get things wrong, when I offend people, when I'm caught, oh, this is what happens. You know, we get it wrong, we make mistakes. Oh, we're brothers and sisters, you must learn to forgive me because, you know, I get it wrong, blah, blah, blah. And I want to get a clean ticket out of my responsibilities. It is up to the person that I have offended that they can say, I release you, my brother, my sister, I forgive you at this time, as they are able to process what has just happened. But sometimes we want to explain away other people's pain and say, you mustn't be offended by this. Oh, that's not a big deal. You know, there are other people who are being offended big time as compared to this little offense that there are other people that are being raped, there are other people that are being killed as compared to what I've just done. And we try to justify how small our offense is to other people. It's not my place. My place as the person who has offended the person is to say, I am sorry for the offense that I have caused on you. And then they can express their forgiveness. And sometimes we are arm twisted, especially if you're a minister, you are arm twisted, and because there's always this fantastic statement that says, if you say you are not ready to forgive, and then the next statement that will come is to say, and you call yourself a minister, and you call yourself a Christian. Because the main thing is for you to feel guilt. And sometimes that is not genuine. You don't have to guilt trap people to forgive you. Yes, we know, we pray every day that our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our trespasses as we trespass those that sin again. We understand, I understand that. But that's not your right as the person who has offended another person to say, oh, because you pray that prayer, therefore you must forgive me. Relationship mending should be genuine. Acknowledging that you have offended, and it is up to the person whom you have offended to release you, to say, I am sorry. But sometimes we are so self-entitled that we expect people to forgive us because we want to be forgiven, because we deserve it. And as I say, relationships matter. We must also acknowledge that relationships are not always smooth. I love you. Probably you love me. But we are going to offend one another. Not intentionally. Sometimes intentionally. Sometimes unintentionally. I don't know, probably it's my own way of looking at things. But sometimes we intentionally offend people because we want them to know that they are wrong. Instead of approaching them to help them, to build them up, we want them to be angry so that they can feel the pain that I am feeling because they are so wrong. And we intentionally aim to offend them. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about understanding that we are going to have differences, we are going to look at things differently. And if I put number 9 here, and I'm looking at number 9 here on my floor, when you are looking at this same number 9, you are seeing 6, and I'm seeing 9. From your angle, you are seeing 6. So when you say, Andrew, the number you are talking about is 6, and I'm saying the number I'm talking about is 9. It is very important for me, if I am not always right, as I'm usually, to try and see things from the angle that you are seeing. And sometimes it helps me if I look at the number that I can see that this is what you are seeing. And if you are not always right as you are usually, you could try to see, why is Andrew so arrogant about seeing 9? Could I try and move to his corner and see why he is seeing a 9? And you could see and say, I see, you have got eyes. I was seeing number 6 from there. And because we understand that we could see things from a different point of view, we try to be on the other person's shoes and understand their pain and understand why they might be offended by that. Not because I'm seeing a 9 and therefore it should be a 9. You can't say it's a 6. And because you are saying it's a 6, I can't say it's a 9. But relationships, as we see differently from different angles, we have got to make sure we are willing to be wrong. Which is, I struggle. I told you a story of my daughter reminding me, as I normally encourage her, not to shout. But when I think I've told her, put that down, Tawonga, please put it down, and then lose it. So they put that down! And then Tawonga says, oh, don't shout, Daddy. Is she right? She can't be right in my house. But she is right. And am I willing to say, I am sorry for shouting at you? No, because I've been telling her, and we can have this battle going on and going on continuously, because I told her and she didn't listen, and she's saying I shouldn't shout, and I'm going to shout. And that the cycle continues and continues until nothing is solved. Until people have a blow up and somebody knocks somebody out. Or walks out and storms out of the house. Oh, I cannot take this anymore. Why? Because we have not acknowledged that relationships can be difficult. They are not always smooth. But one thing that humbles me with God's relationship with his people, from Abraham to Abraham's time to our day today, is God has always been willing to be forgiving of us in the times when we have been arrogant, in the times when we have not been willing to listen to him because we know better than him, because we are experiencing the pain, because we can't wait for the time. But God has always been faithful to his covenant with us as his people, in the hope, I think, that we would learn from him, giving us some leeways, and we can be willing to give other people leeways. But when it comes to me, I am willing for God to understand me that I'm only human. I am not willing for anybody else to be human. And therefore, if they don't become human as I expect, I remind them that you call yourself a minister, you call yourself a Christian, you call yourself a mother, because they have not met the standard that I expect. But relationships are there and important, and especially in the church. And the church, sometimes I should acknowledge, the church has not handled relationships very well in our history. Whenever we have differed in the history of the church, whenever we disagreed on whether women should wear trousers or not, or men should do this or not, we have said, oh, I can't deal with this anymore. I'm going to start my own thing, and I can carry on. Forget it. You can continue with your religion. I'm not up to that. End of story. Case closed. And I'm not proud about that. But what Jesus is sharing with his disciples, and he's saying, there is a master, he's giving them a story, somebody who owed something to his master, and the master was willing to forgive him and to let him go, but he went on back to somebody who owed him, and he went mental about that. Yet he had just been forgiven. Relationships are important. You are my brother. You are my sister. I am your brother. I am your sister. We will get it wrong. I will get it wrong. At the same time, I should understand and acknowledge that you would also get it wrong. He or she, they will get it wrong. And we are willing to have a conversation, to talk to your brother or your sister about the issue. Not to talk to somebody else about the issue, but to talk to the person first and have a word. Whether they will kick off or not kick off, have a word with them privately. Have a word with me privately. And try to sort issues. So that when we are together, we are worshipping, there is no them and us. And oh, look at him. Oh, he's even excited in church. Have you heard this language in church? I said, oh, I can't stand him. And then we stand a bit again and we sing this hymn. Oh, brother, sister, let me be. And when you open your eyes, you see her. And you said, oh. Same house, same God. Yet, I am so sinful. I am big time sinner. Yet God is willing to see me stand up here and praise him and worshiping him and still giving me a leeway. But I don't want anybody who differs with me to be given a leeway by God. I want God to strike them dead so that they may know that they have offended me. Yet we want God to be accepting of us. But relationships matter. We have to be genuine when it comes to relationships. Amen. Karen, would you like to do prayers of intercession? Thank you.
I picked up George and Betty's prayers for the week, taken from the URC 2023 handbook. And the prayer of offering struck me forcefully after a week of terrible natural disasters, exacerbated by poor governance. So I will repeat the prayer of offering. God, give me your holy rage against injustice and poverty and suffering, so that I could be brave to do something, even when things get hot and sitting would be easier. I have been involved with Hope Into Action for many years and have seen their program growing from small beginnings in Peterborough to a nationwide network of churches joining forces with Hope Into Action to rehabilitate homeless people to enable them to just take their place in society again. We have joined that team and are on the final lap of opening up a house in Hinckley. My hope is to extend our work to other churches within Hinckley and to the URC nationwide. We are the first URC church to be involved with them. With God's help, when everyone does a little, great deeds are done.
we are going to share together from the Lord's table, which reminds us of the relationships that we have with one another because of this table. In other words, because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And this table reminds us that we, our relationship with one another matters. We share together at the same table because of the same cross, the same body that was broken, and the same blood that was shed for us all, and for them also, and for us all. We sing together. The trumpet sounds, the angels sing. The table of the Lord is set before us for us to celebrate together. It is the Lord Himself who invites us to see in broken bread and poured out wine, symbols of His death on the cross. We come because the door is wide open and we are prepared and we are hungry to receive His grace and His love and His mercies that He has for us. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to your table, trusting in your mercy and not in any of our goodness. You call us saints, yet we continue to sin through disobedience, resistance, and sometimes negligence. We are not worthy even to gather up the crumbs from under your table. But it is your nature always to have mercy, and on that we depend. Therefore, precious and gracious Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we ask for your forgiveness for our sins and for the Holy Spirit to make and work within us, making us more like Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, unite us with the worldwide household of God. Enable us to reach across the years and receive from the hands of Jesus Christ the gifts that you offer to each and every one of us. We join together saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And he wants you to come to him and be fed from his table. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this bread and for your body that was broken for us. We thank you for what the bread that was broken has brought to us, which is peace and love and unity and fellowship with one another and with you. As we partake of it, we pray for your blessing upon this bread, to the glory of your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. When Jesus had given thanks, he took a loaf of bread and he broke it. And he said, take eat of it in remembrance of me. Jesus comes to where we are and wants to meet with us where we are. And the bread will come to you and we hold on to it until we have all received, and then we will share together. body of Christ broken for us. Jesus reminded his disciples of the cup of the covenant sealed by his own blood. And he said to them, "Drink from this cup, all of you, and do this in remembrance of me." And we celebrate the seal of this covenant with us and God's people. A reminder to us that the blood of Jesus runs through our veins and his veins and her veins and their veins. The blood of Christ shed for us all. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks and praise that while we were still far off, you met us in your Son and you brought us home. You have made us one with all your church in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Now we give ourselves to you to be living sacrifices for your glory. And we ask that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom, and that our love may be your love, reaching out into the life of the world through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We stand up as we are able and we sing our closing hymn, which is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. May the Lord continue to bless us as we work on our relationships with one another and with Him, and we share together the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.